Good morning and welcome to Zion. We're happy that you're all here. This is a very special day, the first day that we get to hear our new Pastor Bill preach. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure you are too. Quite often we have the Lord's Prayer late in the service, at the end of the service. Today we're going to begin with it. Our Father which art in heaven.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Don't interrupt me, I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father which art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, Our Father which art in heaven, here I am. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my prayers for today. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good and kind of like getting a duty done.
All right, go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What do you mean by that?
By what?
Why, hallowed be thy name.
Oh, it means, good grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Sure, why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here like you have up there.
Have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I ask you. What about that temper of yours? You really have a problem there, you know. And there's the way you spend your money. All on yourself. And what about the kind of books you read?
Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of those phonies at church.
Excuse me? I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If this is to happen, it will have to start with you, with the ones who are praying for it. Like you, for example.
Oh, all right. Yes, I do have some things, some hang-ups. Now that you have mentioned it, I could possibly name some others, too.
So could I.
Look, Lord, I need to finish this up. It isn't a lot longer. It is a lot longer than I usually takes. Now, give us today our daily bread.
You need to cut out the bread. You're overweight as it is.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this? Criticize me day? Here I was, doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of all my hang-ups.
Praying is a dangerous thing. You could wind up changed, you know. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me, and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
I'm scared to.
Scared of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
What about Sue?
See, I knew it. I knew you'd bring her up. Why, she told me some lies. She told lies about me and she started gossip. She owed me an apology. I will get even with her.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you are honest now. But it's not much fun carrying that load of bitterness around, is it?
No. But I'll feel better as soon as I get even and I get some ideas about it.
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you are already. But I can change that.
You can? How?
Forgive Sue. Then I'll forgive you.
Oh, but Lord, I can't forgive Sue. Look what she's done to me.
Then I can't forgive you.
Oh, all right. You're always right. And more than I want to revenge on Sue, I want to be right with you. All right. I forgive her.
There now. Wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all. I feel pretty good right now.
You're not through with your prayer. Go on.
Oh, all right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
What do you mean by that?
Be careful about what magazine you look at. Change some of your friendships. Some of your so-called friends are beginning to get to you. They'll have you completely involved in wrong things before long.
I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. Up until now, I thought that if I just prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could do what I liked. I didn't expect anything to happen like it did.
Go ahead and finish your prayer.
Thy kingdom come, and thine is the power, the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you. I can see what a mess that I've made of my own life. And I can see now the good that could be in one of your followers.
You've just answered the question.
I did?
Yes, the thing that would bring me glory is to have people like you truly love me. And I see that happening between us, now that some of these old sins are exposed and out of the way.
Let's see what we can do and make of this of me, okay?
Yes, let's see.
Okay. Well, let me tell you the context here a little bit. We didn't just do that to be funny or to make you laugh, but hopefully it makes you think. We studied the Lord's Prayer for a couple of Sundays in my Sunday school class and read this thing there, and the consensus of the class that we needed to do it with everybody. So now you have it. Now it's time for announcements. We have a very full morning, and encourage you to come forward if you have an announcement to share. Let me just explain while the people are coming that there's strings on the pews. There's something stringy in our pastor, I guess. Anyway, don't brush them on the floor. Take one. Everyone should have a string. So we'll find out what that's about after a while.
Tonight we're having a junior high and MYF trivia night here at church. So bring your friends, 5 o'clock to 6:30. See you there.
Our Lenten theme this year is We Behold His Glory. And if you look up here at our visual, thank you to Ken Kaufman for creating the word glory. Thank you to Ken Kaufman for the cross that he made several years ago. So enjoy the visuals during our theme of We Behold His Glory. We want to help Bill get to know us by name and face. So we're asking that you send the church office a picture of yourself that we can create a church directory for him as he's learning to know names and faces. Everybody can take a selfie today while you're here in the building or at the meal. Take a selfie of your family, yourself, and send those to the church office so we can help him. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Carolyn Yoder, and today is the annual fundraiser meal for the Senior Center in Bolivia, in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. And Karen and Wendell sent some pictures, as well as a letter from the board of the Senior Center that they would like me to read to you. So I also want to thank the men and women of Roca de Salvacion for making the meal today. Okay, so that will be right after church. So their letter. Dear brothers and sisters, we pray that each of you are healthy and send our most sincere thanks and prayers for each. We want to share with you the goals we were able to reach in 2019 and our projections for 2020. First, express our thanks to you. May God recompense all your efforts in donating your love offerings. Thanks for your prayers, and above all, thanks for sharing our faith in a living and merciful God. The funds that you sent in 2019 were used for the following things. They pay salaries for several team members who work at the Centro Vida de Feliz, full-time director, the part-time agronomist, and part-time person in charge of storehouse. We also received support from the municipal government to pay the cook and cook's assistant. The Nueva Vida Baptist Church pays a pastor as chaplain, and a local donor family pays the accountant. These donations you send are fundamental for the Centro to carry out all our activities. Some of the goals that they reached in 2019. We changed the thatch roof on the Zion cabin, made possible by a group of community volunteers using traditional know-how from the elderly. We received more than 20 visits from student groups from local schools. They visited with the elderly and brought us cleaning supplies along with a lot of smiles for the elderly. In December 2019, we finally began our income-generating project, serving fresh local juices at the plaza from our Hugo's Fresh truck. Thanks to support from the Evangelical University of Bolivia and local volunteers. We received the blessings of harvest from our garden and orchard, veggies, bananas, lemons, mangoes, avocados, and medicinal plants. Most went into the daily menu for lunches the elderly members eat every day. We organized the Vita Feliz Cycling Club to promote cycling for local transportation as an alternative sport for young and old. The club hosted a national all-terrain bike race here. We opened an exercise class in the afternoons for youth and adults led by a university student. In the summer vacation, which for them would be in January, they offered classes for children, story times, artistic expression, healthy snacks, recreational activities for children to develop other abilities and interact with the elderly. The daily activities for the elderly have maintained good participation from 60 up to 100 participants Monday to Saturday in spiritual life, preventative health, social activities, and nutritional support with daily lunches from our kitchen, all of which better the quality of life for the elderly that participate at Vita Feliz. During 2019, we continued to give administrative support to the network for the elderly of the municipality that serves over 2,700 persons, especially in managing the distribution of food rations for all of them. For 2020, we commit ourselves again to keep walking alongside our elderly, following our founding principles of charity, service, self-respect, and respect for our neighbor, solidarity with those that suffer, and mutual cooperation. Finally, we encourage you to continue walking with us in 2020 so that in the next 5 years, we can achieve these medium-term goals, which are a vehicle for the institution's use, general renovation of our infrastructure, the buildings and grounds, and the third one is initiate studies for new projects and improving our daily programs to strengthen the quality of life for our grandparents, as we call them. We thank God for each of you and for having brought us together to give a happy life to these elderly of our community. Vida Feliz's happy life. And that was from the board. And I also want to mention that Christian Amstutz made cunyape, which is a traditional Bolivian sort of cheese bread today that you will also be served at the meal. So I encourage you all to be generous in your support. You've heard about all the things that the money goes for. And it's not just Zion that supports the senior center. Calvary does, the Roca de Salvacion, and another church in Virginia, Lindale Mennonite Church. So there are four different churches giving their support. Thank you.
And if today's lunch just whets your appetite for Latin flavors, then I'm hoping you will consider joining us next Saturday night. We'll have the Bridging Cultures fundraiser meal here. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. Instead of a speaker, we're having a game. I hope that is motivating and not terrifying. And get to know about the four main bridges of Bridging Culture: bridge to technology, bridge to neighbors, bridge to language, and bridge to legal status. All four of those. I've had the pleasure of working with Janet Diaz alongside Charlie to get more involved in the organization, and it's just such an amazing organization that does such amazing work in Canby. One of the things that you may not be aware of is that Canby has the largest Hispanic population in Clackamas County of all cities. So this is a huge part of our Canby community and Canby culture. So I hope you'll join us next Saturday night. The information is in the bulletin if you'd like to pre-register or just show up. We'll take you. Thanks.
You'll see in your bulletin that this being the second Sunday is the night for popcorn and prayer. Cheryl is ill. There's some other conflicts, so we're going to cancel for this time, but plan for second Sunday next week or next month. One other thing we are not planning this morning, we're told to have share in prayer. So if you have a prayer request, feel free to take the cards that are in the pews and fill those out, put them in the offering when it's taken in a few moments. Okay, I think we're ready to get to our call to worship. I'll read from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. Join me in prayer. Indeed, Lord, you are a King above all kings and Lord of all lords. And we gather here this morning to worship and to honor you because you are worthy. Because we know that we are mere humans, but we are given the privilege to be in relation with you through Jesus Christ. And we praise and thank you for that relationship. May we honor you and bless you through our worship. And we ask that you'll bless us in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing our praises.
Please take your blue hymnals and turn with me to number 26 and stand as you are able. The same book, number 544.
Thank you. and number 517.
Thank you, Brandon, for selecting those wonderful hymns. The way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Isn't that right? Sure, we all agree. Will you join me now as the ushers come forward for our morning offering? Join me in prayer. Almighty God, again, we pause to say thank you. Out of your abundance, you've blessed us abundantly. And now we return our gifts to you and pray for your blessing. Use them according to your divine will. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
The children come forward for the children's story.
Try again. Closer so you can see. Can you come up closer by Owen? All right, Isaac's there. Good morning. How many of you like to eat apples? You like apples? Yeah? You like apples?
No one likes rotten things.
Well, not rotten apples, but nice sweet apples. What about if you'd make apples into applesauce? Do you like applesauce?
Yeah.
What about apple pie? Yeah? You like all those things? Well, I went and got a branch from my backyard. This is actually from a plum tree, but we're going to pretend like it's an apple tree, okay? And look at those blossoms on that branch. See how those blossoms are? And if it was an apple tree branch with blossoms, those blossoms would
turn into apples.
They would turn into apples. That is right. And then those apples, we could make apple pie and applesauce, all those good things that we talked about. Now, do you think this branch is going to make apples?
Yeah.
Why not, Levi? It's broken. I took it away from its source of its from the tree. I took it away from where it gets its food and its water because it's can't do that anymore, will it? Will those blooms stay nice looking, or are they going to, what's going to happen to them? They're going to die and get all wilty. They're actually starting to get wilty already. That's right. Because they are, they would fall off. Yeah, they would fall off after a little bit when they dry off. But yeah, this branch is never going to produce apples. It won't do that anymore because it's not connected to his source and to the source of the tree. It has to. You are right. And you know what? Just like this branch would have... Could I put this back on the tree?
No.
No. But just like this branch, Christians have to do things to stay connected to God. What do you think you could do to stay connected to God? There's things that you do. What do you do, Lisa, that you stay connected to God?
Being good to listen to my mom and dad.
Listening to your mom and dad and being good?
What?
If you're in heaven, yeah. But how can we stay connected to God? How many of you pray sometimes? Yeah. When you pray, that is a way to stay connected to God. And we need to do that because he is our source. How about how many of you read a Bible or listen to Bible stories in Sunday school? Yeah, all of you go to Sunday school and you listen in Sunday school to Bible stories and the Bible and learn things there. That's another way to stay connected. So you can also stay connected that way. What about being here with all these other people at church?
Yeah.
Is that a way to stay connected to God?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can learn from your friends and from other people here at church and stay connected to God. So just like the tree branch has to stay, the apple branch has to stay connected to the tree to grow apples, we need to stay connected to God to get our source of strength from God too. And you know what the cool thing is? Sometimes we don't feel like we're connected to God or we feel like we've drifted away, but God is always with us. This would never happen to us like the tree because God would always be with us. He will never ever leave us alone. Let's close our eyes and pray for a minute. Dear God, we do want to grow into strong Christians and feel close to you. Help us to remember that you are always close to us and will never leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, try to remember the apples and how you can stay connected to God.
The scripture this morning is from the 15th chapter of John. John 15, 1-8. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have given to you. Remain in me, and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine, in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear fruit, much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's give our attention now to our new interim pastor, Bill Blank.
Good morning. How are we doing? Did everybody get a string? Everybody have a piece of string? This is my first Sunday preaching as your interim pastor, and on the first Sunday, I can get away with a few things because I don't know any better. And this morning, we're going to do a little activity with this rope. Each of you have a piece of string, and I'm inviting you to take that string and tie it to this rope. So take your piece of string, and we're going to pass this rope around, and you have to tie it to the rope. If you don't have a piece of string, look around. There's some benches that aren't as full as others. There's probably some string laying around. We might need to do some moving around this morning, and that's okay. But you're tying your string to this rope. And so I'm going to start here, and I have no idea how long this will take. But I'm going to keep preaching until we're done. This morning's text, talking about staying connected. And so trying to think about how can we illustrate that. If our strings are connected to this rope, it's a way to think about how we stay connected to the vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." And it's interesting that he uses that word true. What does that mean, that he's the true vine? For those that are familiar with the Old Testament, you'll recall or perhaps remember that the chosen people of God in the Old Testament, the Israelites, are sometimes referred to as a vine. And so perhaps this is a way that Jesus was connecting the history of God's people to himself in saying, "I am the true vine." In Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9, it's reflected on. It says, "You are transplanted a vine from Egypt." Talking about the Israelites, a transplanted vine from Egypt. Isaiah 5 talks a lot about the vine. Verse 1 starts, "I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard." So the Israelites were referred to as that vine, but Jesus breaks in at time in history and reveals to all listeners that he indeed was the true vine. And so, to understand, as Jesus was speaking these words, and we're reflecting in on Jesus' words as we prepare for Easter in this Lenten series, but Jesus is saying, "I'm the true vine, the authentic vine, the genuine vine, and it's to me you need to stay connected." In Jesus' explanation, he explores a little bit of history there. For the disciples who are listening to Jesus, they were connected. The vine, the true vine. Jesus is talking about the true vine. He's taking identity that used to be a group of people and saying it's not having the right last name. It's not going to the right church. It's not even speaking the right words. It's about a relationship with Jesus that becomes important. And that connection to Jesus is one of identity as well. History is important. As your interim pastor, I'm going to work through five tasks during this interim time. One of them is history. This congregation has some history. Now, I don't know a lot yet, but I'm learning. Some of the history in this congregation is really good stuff. God has been moving and working through this congregation into this area. And I hear that and I see that. But I also know there's some history in this congregation. Am I coming and going? I don't know what to do. Should I dance around a little bit? History. The importance of history. And understanding even the places in history that maybe... I'm going to grab this mic. Do I need to do anything to it? I'm the new guy. I don't know anything. All right. History. The importance of history. As a church, we can look back and see the really good things God has done, and we need to celebrate those. But what about those pieces in history that aren't so lovely? Things that we don't really want to talk about or even think about. What do we do with those? Just like a church has history, each one of us as individuals have history. I have a history, you have a history. I can look back into that family that I grew up in and I see a lot of good things about my family. For those that really are into an understanding of family and family systems, I'm the fifth child of six children. I have a pretty big family in today's standards. My dad comes from a family, he has eight siblings. Adding that up, my mom comes from a family, she had seven siblings. I got a lot of cousins. I don't know them all. Family history is important. As we reflect on that as a congregation, as individuals, we can see those places where God has done amazing things, but we all have those places where we'd sooner just not talk about. And part of thinking around what we're studying here in Lent, and you have this in your bulletins too, this understanding that God wants to take those things in life, things that have happened, like the cross, and take what is seemingly so awful and transforming them into the glory of God. The transformation. And I believe that God wants to do the same things with our history, the places in our history, whether it's individual or congregational, and take those things that we'd sooner not talk about, that maybe were rough, maybe were times of, boy, let's just not go back there ever again. And He wants to transform those into His glory. God wants to take things like conflict, disagreement, misunderstandings, hurt, and transform them for glory. Part of what I hope to see in my time here as your interim is some of those places. Maybe it was hurt, maybe it was pain, maybe it was misunderstanding, and transforming them, seeing God transforming them into places of glory, places to celebrate, to be happy about. Jesus said that I am the true vine, the connection to history, but also the shift and transformation to who He is today. He goes on in that text to say, not only does Jesus say I'm the true vine, but He says that God is the gardener. God is the one taking care of everything. God's taking care of us, of you and of I and of this congregation, of our families. And I'm sure in this congregation, a congregation this size, there's lots of stories where God seems to not be very close. Or perhaps just times that, boy, life really is tough. Where is God? But in all those times, God's right here. He's with us. And that understanding, if we can stay connected to the true vine, to Jesus, we have the opportunity to see God show up in ways that maybe we didn't even expect or think that God would show up. One of the things, if you were here last week, as Lynn preached on in around this text that we looked at today, the importance of love. And if we're to stay connected to Jesus, part of what Jesus is going to require from us is obedience. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commandments. In chapters 13, 14, and 15 of John, he says that four or five times. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And he makes it real clear what his command is. In John 15, verse 17, I think it is, this is my command, Jesus says, love one another. And we're to love one another. That's great. I want to love you. I'm getting to know you. It's a wonderful thing. But how do I love the other when they're wrong? When I don't agree with them? Or when we're in conflict with one another? What about that, Jesus? Help me out. I know I'm supposed to love them, but they're so wrong. What does it look like then? To love others who don't agree with us, think differently than we do, have a different view of the world, of politics. Can I say that even this morning? How do we love them? I believe that Jesus knew this would happen. He knew we are people. And we see in Matthew 18 a text that's helpful in working with those who maybe think differently than we do or don't always agree with us. Now, I go to this text in Matthew 18, and I'm just going to read a couple verses for us this morning, recognizing this is a text that sometimes has been misused by the church. And not just the Mennonite church, but the Christian church. Matthew 18, verse 15 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I believe that it's God's intention, God's perspective, God's desire for us to live at peace with one another. Even when we disagree, even when we have different perspectives, different opinions. God knew we'd struggle, so he's going to give us some ways to go about loving one another even when the other is wrong. And I see it here in this text. Verse 15, if your brother or sister sins against you, go point it out. Well, they're not, you know, it's not sin, they're just wrong. So maybe you can't say it's sin, but maybe it's a disagreement, a misunderstanding, maybe they've hurt you in some way. The first step here is important that Jesus gives us, and it's to go and talk with the other, directly, face to face. And what we need in church, and I don't know you yet, so I can't, but in other churches what we need, is for more people to talk to one another rather than about one another. And so Jesus says, go and talk to the other. And in this context, it's going and talking to the other in a spirit of humility. We can't go and talk to the other in the thinking of our minds to say, I'm right and they're wrong and I'm going to prove it. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, in a spirit of humility, go to the other. Now, I need to let you know, I've done a lot of work in my family of origin. That's the family I grew up in. All of us learn how to do relationships in the family we grew up in. For many of us, there's a lot of good there. For some of us, there's some challenges and some excesses. In my study of my family of origin, I've recognized that I come from a long line of men who are always right. Yes, maybe some of you can relate to that, right? Obviously, we're not always right. But in listening to stories and generations, the recognition that, boy, I have to battle against that seemingly in my DNA that I'm always right. And if I'm in a discussion, if I'm in a disagreement, a discerning time with my wife, Julie, and I am convinced that I am the most right, if I can hear myself, then I know that I've already blown it. Be because I know that there are many times I'm not right. And so I have to focus on that and hold that lightly. Maybe there's things that you need to hold lightly too from your family of origin. But in going to the other directly, speaking to them face to face, to go in a spirit of humility and to listen to them, to get into their shoes, to get their perspective, one of the phrases that I try to use, particularly when I know I'm the most right, is to say to the other, tell me more. Help me understand where you're coming from. To really listen to the other. And I know how it works. Typically, when we are trying to listen to the other, we're often thinking about what we're going to say in rebuttal to them, rather than truly listening. And so I work at that. And some of you are familiar with reflective listening, trying to say back to the other what they just said to you, not word for word, but in your own words. Jesus wants us to go to the other in love, in humility, and speak with them. But sometimes that doesn't work. Then what do? We go to the next verse. Verse 16 of Matthew 18. Then get the church involved. Tell it to the church, it says. Now, in the context here, in verse 16, if they won't listen to you, take others along so that we can establish the matter. Tell the church is the next one. We'll get there. And what we're doing there is mediation. It's taking two or three with you, not two or three that believe the way you do or think the way you do or are on your side, but two or three people who have the gift of being able to listen to diverse understandings and perspectives and viewpoints. And bringing together these ideas in a way that somehow we can move forward, even in the midst of two different perspectives. Mediation. So first, go to the other directly. We can look at that kind of like negotiation. Spirit of humility. Try and listen to the other. Try and share your perspective. If that doesn't work, go to the next step. Get two or three people to gather you together through a type of mediation to be able to listen to one another. Make sure each other understand. And in that, perhaps there's even some hurts that get surfaced that need to be healed. But then if that doesn't work, Jesus says, then you tell it to the church. You give it over to the church. And that's kind of like arbitration. Maybe some of you are familiar with that word. But you're kind of giving over the decision to others to make that decision as a church. Now, when it says tell it to the church, it's not tell it to the church Sunday morning during sharing time. But it is about telling it to the leaders of the church. Having the leaders of the church really work at an understanding of the issues, of what's going on, and to make a decision. And then it says in the text that if that doesn't work, Jesus calls us to treat them as a tax collector and a pagan. And I think this particular section of this scripture has been misused as pushing people out of the church. Because as I look at Jesus' life, his portrayal in this scripture, what does Jesus do with tax collectors and pagans? He hangs out with them. He eats with them. He loves them. And the call there is to persist in love. To keep loving one another, even when we don't understand the other, even if we think differently than the other, even when we're not on the same page as the other. Staying connected to the vine will enable us to be able to listen to one another when we disagree. And I believe that Jesus wants to take those places of disagreement, misunderstanding, of conflict. And he wants to transform that for his glory. Here's an idea I have. I think if as churches we can do a little bit better at disagreeing with one another and still loving one another, we will become attractive to the culture in which we live. Where in this culture do we see people who disagree with one another and still stay connected and still love one another? There's places. But I have tons of examples of people disagreeing and parting ways and separating and being on the other side. I think we have an opportunity today as a church,
not just Zion Mennonite Church, but certainly here, but as the Christian church, to really be a witness and testimony into our culture, to allow them to see that we can disagree with one another and still love each other. Maybe people from Hubbard will start coming and looking in the windows and going, hey, I know you guys don't agree, but there you are loving each other, eating breakfast together, lunch, and really enjoying one another. I wonder. In this text, this call to stay connected, to recognize Jesus as the true vine, to be obedient, to love one another, that abiding that Jesus calls us, abiding in the vine, remaining there with Jesus, leading to glory. Verse 8, John 15, this is to God's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The bearing fruit, fruit that will last, comes out of an attitude, an understanding of the heart. We will bear fruit as we love one another. We will bear fruit, the fruit that Jesus is talking about, as we step out in faith using the gifts that God has given us. We all have gifts. Part of being in the kingdom of God is using those gifts in such a way that it's not just about my gift, but it's about God working through me, using that gift to touch the hearts and lives of others. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, yeah, that sounds good, but you just don't know. You don't know my, and you can name it, in your life. You don't know my mom, you don't know my sister, you don't know my coworker, you don't know what I have to put up with, and I don't. But in the midst of all that, I do know that God is present. And as we cling, stay connected, abide in Jesus, that the insights of the challenges of relationships can be transformed for God's glory. We never know the impact we might have on others, co-workers, family members. Even if I can just withhold my being right sometimes and listening to others, can impact that other in ways that are going to bring glory to God, potentially. I can get excited about that. And I can get excited about staying connected to Jesus, recognizing there's going to be times when I can bear fruit, fruit that will last because of the work that God is doing in my heart, and that that work is working through me to others. But again, you might be thinking, well, yeah, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's his first time. He's preaching. He'll learn. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, connected, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So I think for me, that's one of the things that's been very helpful, is when I don't feel like loving, when I don't feel like listening, when I don't feel like doing active listening and trying to repeat back to the other what I've heard them say, when I don't feel like it, to remember, what has Jesus done? The true vine. Verse 6 in Philippians 2, talking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord,
to the glory of God the Father.
So when I don't feel like it, and I try not to keep track of anymore how many times I don't feel like it, because that's depressing. In fact, it's already happened today, when I haven't felt like it. Felt like loving, felt like listening, or felt like caring. In our household, Julie and I, we have our two sons living with us. One is 18, the other is 25. Young adults. For a while, I was pretty sure they didn't know where the dishwasher was. I think they know where it is now, but sometimes they just forget. They leave their dishes. They usually make it to the sink, so I'm going to give them as much credit as I can here. And I can either complain about the dirty dishes in the sink, or I can serve my sons by putting those dishes in the dishwasher. It's a choice. And there's times when I don't feel like it. I don't feel like serving them. I don't feel like taking care of this stuff. Because I'm right. And that's what I remember. What has Jesus done for me, for us? Motivation. There it is. Where's the rope? All right. Did it make it the whole way around? Is it over here yet?
Halfway.
Halfway. Oh, I got more. So the rope might not make it the whole way around, but keep it going. But I do want you to hold. Can you just hold that up? Or I can come back and get it too. But is it all right if I walk back here? I don't want to scare anybody. It's my first Sunday. I don't know what I'm doing. But if you look at the rope, thank you for holding that. And it's going to get more entangled, more messy. Strings are touching each other. Where your string, maybe you like, boy, there's my string. Somebody, they knotted it right next to it. An orange one, even. Yeah, all right, see? But as you look at that, and I've never done this before, so I really don't know what I'm doing. But as you look at that rope and you see those strings and they're touching each other, they're entangled with one another, some of them are getting knotted up with each other. Isn't that the way it is in life sometimes? When we're trying to do the best we can to be obedient and connected to Jesus, there's these people that just keep rubbing me the wrong way. They're annoying. They think differently. But what keeps us going and can keep us moving forward is that connection to Jesus. It's kind of like the Lord's Prayer that we started with this morning when Lynn was sharing. You know, God, I'm just trying to do everything you want me to do and check it off. If you're sitting here this morning just checking stuff off, I would challenge you. What are you doing? Because this God that we're talking about isn't some God that's far off, sitting on a cloud, playing a harp. It's a God who made a choice to step into humanity through Jesus, love us so that we might love one another. Knots and all. We can do it. I believe it. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and this opportunity to be here. God, I would ask that you would continue to work in our hearts. Open us up to what you would have for us in all areas as we think about our gifts, our families, and particularly this morning, God, I think about those places in our lives where there might be hurt or pain or conflict or turmoil or upset or misunderstanding. That it would be in those places, God, that maybe even this morning, today, this week, you're going to show up in new ways of how we might be able to love, even in the midst of that. God, help us as we continue to try to be faithful to the calling that you've given to each one of us, and as we work together here at Zion Mennonite Church. Amen. So the rope's going to keep going, okay? And we'll just keep letting it be nodded to. Great.
Let's respond in song. Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 373 and stand as you are able.
It is good to be with you here at Zion Mennonite Church this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Catherine Jameson Pitts, the Executive Conference Minister of the Pacific Northwest Mennonite Conference, which is such a long title. But I work with Mennonite congregations, your brothers and sisters here in the Pacific Northwest. I have three daughters, and if you asked any of them, they would all tell you that they are my favorite daughter. Because I have told them that. So I'll just tell you, you're my favorite congregation. But it is always good to be among you. And it's good to be here as you begin this next chapter of your life as a congregation. You have begun an in-between time. Some of you may be still grieving the loss of Matthew as your pastor. Some of you may be angry at him for deciding to retire. Some of you may be anxious about change, and some of you may be eager to discover what's next to come. In-between times are full of feelings and opportunities. And into this space at Zion Mennonite Church, you have invited Bill Blank to walk with you as your interim pastor. Interim pastors have a unique role in congregational life. They have one foot in the congregation to be with you, to minister to you pastorally, to offer leadership and build relationships. But they also need to keep one foot outside of the congregation, knowing their time with you is limited, wanting to bring a new and outside perspective, hoping to help you see yourselves in a new way. Bill has had special training and experience in this role, and now it's up to you to welcome him as part of you and to bring openness to receive the new thing that he will offer. So today, we are going to commission and install Bill as your interim pastor, knowing that this is will be for a short time in the long life of Zion Mennonite Church, but knowing that this is an important time for the health and direction of this congregation in the years to come. So Bill, would you come and join me? I have a few questions for you this morning. Bill, do you hold to the promises you made at your baptism and ordination?
I do.
Will you seek to be faithful in prayer and in setting forth the scriptures and in seeking the good of this congregation?
I will.
And will you seek to live honestly, openly, and justly with your fellow disciples in this congregation?
I will.
Jana, if you could stand. You serve this congregation as associate pastor. And so I ask you, do you welcome Bill, affirming him as the interim lead pastor and offering yourself as a partner in ministry with him?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And now for all of you, I guess you can sit down. Some of those things I don't work out very smoothly. Family of God at Zion Mennonite Church, you have heard the commitment to ministry in this congregation made by Bill, and so I ask you, will you receive him as your interim pastor? Will you uphold him in this calling and grant to him your trust and respect during the months ahead? If so, say, we will.
We will.
As we now affirm the installation of Bill Blank as interim lead pastor at Zion Mennonite Church, I want to invite you to join me together in praying a prayer. I think we're going to have it. Yes, we're going to have it on the screen. And if you would like to, in this day of COVID-19, we don't necessarily want to be touching Bill. So if you would like to raise your hand and join me in raising your hand in blessing as we pray together for this new relationship. Gracious God, you have blessed and sustained Zion Mennonite Church for many years and have given us life together. Be with us now as we enter this in-between time. Bless Bill as he walks with us and guides us in this time. Help us to receive him as our pastor and to live honestly, openly, and justly with him in the months ahead. Give us courage, patience, and vision to discern your will, and strengthen us in our witness to the world and service to others. In Christ's name we pray. By your statements of commitment and the affirmation of the congregation, I welcome you as the interim pastor at Zion Mennonite Church. May God bless this time together abundantly.
Thank you.
Please join me for a pastoral prayer this morning. Lord, you are the true vine. You know us, and you call us by name. God of compassion, you call us to live in the light of your word, and yet there are so many who are unable to see your light. We often rely on ourselves instead of you in times of trouble, but you are the source of our strength. We seek the light you provide and remember that you are always present. Embrace those who suffer from illnesses of mind, body, or spirit with your strength and healing presence. Comfort and encourage those who grieve. Help resolve the conflicts in our lives with family, co-workers, neighbors. Our deepest longing is to follow you, and yet we fail to live as you command. Help us not to hide from conflict, but allow it to shape us so that we might truly become more faithful disciples. At work, at play, take hold of our hearts, God, and awaken us to the presence of your love. May your love spill over into our lives in such a way it lightens the path and eases the burdens of each person we meet. We pray in the name of the one who came as the light of the world, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's stand for the sending song and remain standing for the benediction. This is going to serve both as our sending song and as our blessing for the meal today.
You've got a place at the welcome table. You've got a place at the welcome table. One of these days, hallelujah.
So you be there today, will you? As our sending benediction this morning, I'd like to read a verse from 2 Thessalonians. Remember, as we've been challenged to stay connected. And this is part of what it means to do that. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Go in His peace.